Thank you. Appreciate that. That's good, isn't it? Personal. My Savior. He's the Savior of the world if they'll accept Him. But it's an individual decision. You've got to make it. You say, well, I think I don't believe that way. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing. People are more concerned with what they believe than what the Bible says. Well, I don't believe it that way. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe it that way. Whatever God says in His Word. See, it's not up to us to interpret it. People say, I don't interpret it that way. It's for us to find out what God meant by it. Right? It doesn't matter. You can interpret any way you want to and be wrong, and I can interpret any way I want to and be wrong. What matters is what did God mean? And it is our job, and it's really our journey to figure out what God means in His Word, not, well, I want to interpret this to make it easier for me. It doesn't matter, right? You can interpret it any way you want to. But the problem is that is not necessarily what the Lord meant when He wrote His Word. So that's our goal is to learn the Word of God, right? That's why we ought to teach it, we ought to preach it, we ought to read it, study it, study to show thyself approved. And the more we know of the Word of God, the more we'll know of God. And the more we know of God, the more we want to be close to Him. The closer we get to Him, the more we should want to be like Him. And if you don't want to be like the Lord, there's a problem in there somewhere, right? Well, I just don't believe. It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what the Word of God says. And as you believe the Word of God, right, now all of a sudden we're lining up with God. There's all these ideas of how people think they are going to heaven. Well, I think there's more than one way. No, there's not. Jesus said, I am the way. So my point this morning is, as they were saying, He's my Savior. He is. He came to save the whole world, but it's a personal decision. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Well, that's encompassing everyone, but it's also saying this, that you have to call upon the name of the Lord. And so this morning, I'm thankful He's my Savior. Luke chapter 13 this morning, we want to begin in verse 31, read down through the end of the chapter there, Luke chapter number 13, verse number 31. Let's stand together if you're able to. Thank you again for the good singing, and thank you for being here this morning. I think it's been a blessing to be in God's house already. I think that by being here, we have gained, right? At least I have. I've gained this morning. Just from people say, well, I listen now. We had a long day yesterday. Okay, well, good. Well, today's a different day. Today, yesterday was the quote-unquote celebration of the birth of Christ. Makes sense to me. If we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, we'd come to His house, right? Now, next year, let me tell you what's going to happen. Next year, Christmas is going to fall on Sunday. And so we are going to have church. We're probably just going to have a morning service, but here's what I know will happen. Well, now, preacher, we're probably not going to be there because, you know, we do our family thing on that morning. Well, here's what I'd say. You got a whole year to plan. Go ahead and prepare your family. So look now, Christmas morning, we're going to have church, and I'm going to be there. So we're going to have to adjust some things, right? Good. I'm giving you forewarning. Because what will happen, Brother John, somebody will come up about the 1st of January or 1st of December and say, I didn't know Christmas fell on Sunday this year. Well, it does. Amen. That's good preaching already. Look at verse 31. The Bible said the same day, there came certain of the Pharisees saying, anytime I see that word Pharisee, there's trouble coming, isn't it? Right? Saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. Boy, that's Old Testament. That's the King's English for troublemaker, right? Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. He goes on to say, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's a strong saying there. The Lord's saying, I would have done this, but since you have rejected me, you're not going to see me again until it's too late. And so I want to share a message with you this morning on this thought, handling roadblocks on the road to God's will. See, we are in a day where there are so many distractions and roadblocks, right? And a lot of times it centers around people. You talk to people and ask, well, listen, they say, I used to go to church. Why aren't you in church? Well, you know, there are a bunch of hypocrites in the church, and I got hurt in the church. And you know what? There's a feeling in us. We're going, oh, I feel so bad for them. Right? I've been hurt in church. And yes, there are hypocrites in church, and there's foxes, and there's fakes, and all the rest of it. And we'll say, oh, you know what? If the church were this and this and this, and people would all come. No, they wouldn't. Because here you have perfection. You have Jesus, and everybody didn't want him. And so if he was perfect and everybody didn't follow him, we are a church full of imperfect people. And the church as a whole, the body of Christ, are imperfect, and everybody's just not going to want what you got. Now that does not relieve us of the responsibility of living like Christ. But it also should not distract us, right? We have a path. We have a plan. We have the will of God in our life that we must continue to follow, and it doesn't matter what the distractions are. And by the way, there are many. We still have to accomplish what God's left us here to accomplish. And I want to share a thought with you. Father, I pray and ask you this morning that you'd meet with us. And Lord, we love you and thank you for the example you set for us in your word. May we get our eyes focused on you this morning, not be distracted by any person or anything. And finish the course. If there's one here that does not know you as Savior, please, Father, please touch their heart and show them their need. If there's one that is not walking with you this morning as closely as they should, please touch their heart. And help us all to find that singular vision of Christ. And for all that's done, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. So don't raise your hand, but how many, if we were honest, would say that Sunday morning when you get up to come to church and Saturday you've planned on it and you say, I'm going to church tomorrow, we're going to get up, going to go to Sunday school, we're going to be there, we're excited, and you get up Sunday morning and something happens. Distractions, right? Now, I'm not picking on you. Some of you are already looking at the floor like he's going to wear us out this morning. I'm really not, so hang with me. And Wednesday night, you're ready to come to church, and I'm ready to go to church, and I need it. I've had a rough week, and before you leave work, there's a distraction. On the way home, there's a distraction. When you get home, there's distractions and everything. It seems like everything in this world is centered around trying to get us off the path, right? And so life is full of distractions. We just said it, man. If you can clean your house for 3 hours and have 1 million people watch you do it, there's a lot of folks that want distractions in their life. Why? Because we don't want to deal with reality. And so we have all these ways, Brother Danny, social media, movies, Netflix, YouTube. We have all these ways to avoid reality. We had a pandemic, man, they said, I don't remember what the percentage of Netflix users went up to, but you know what it was? Like, man, I'm going to be here, I'm just going to binge watch stuff and eat. And we've never got over that. But it didn't start in the pandemic, right? It didn't start then. There's always been distractions. Remember all the way back in the Garden of Eden, in perfection, you had Adam and Eve and God walking together. There was a distraction. Here we see the path of Christ, and on the road to Calvary, on the way to Calvary, guess what we see? Distractions. So many times these roadblocks and distractions are people. Let's be honest, right? We're family, let's be honest. They're people, they're family, they're friends, they're co-workers, they're people in church, they're whatever. You name it, you plug yourself in here, and I promise you, you'll say, man, this person gets me off track, and this person drives me crazy. This person gets my blood boiling, and I can't think straight. Whatever it is, As a Christian, you may have to deal with people that will try to hinder you from doing what you're supposed to do. How many times have we said it? You either are or soon will become like the people you hang around. And we'll say, no, I'm the exception to the rule. I can be around these people and they don't bother me. Not now, but they will. And so here we are. We're seeing the very situation in the life of the Lord that there are distractions. And interestingly, we see the Lord handle these with sternness. But man, a lot of times we coddle people, don't we? I mentioned it, well, Christmas comes up. Well, I don't want to offend people and tell them I'm going to church instead of having Christmas morning breakfast at Grandma's. And we've done that for 487 years and she'll get offended. Well, you know what? Maybe Grandma, you say, Grandma, we can go to church together and then we'll have lunch afterwards. Well, that ain't our family tradition. Well, it kind of tells us sometimes our family traditions are not centered around Christ, aren't they? So what do we learn from the Lord in dealing with roadblocks? Well, I'll give you three things this morning. Number one, I want you to see the divine schedule of Christ. In verse 31, 32, the Bible said, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. Well, that something's not sitting right with me. Now, I'm not an investigator, but here we are, the Pharisees are telling Jesus, you need to get out of here because Herod wants to kill you. Well, I thought they wanted him dead. I thought they wanted somebody to kill him. So what was it? Now there are, we see that at Jesus, first of all, he dealt with fakes. You with me? You ever deal with people that are fakes in your job? They're nice to you, you're faced, and they're stabbing you in the back. Well, that's kind of what it looks to me like what Jesus is dealing with. They're saying, hey, now listen, Lord, we're concerned about it. They may have been actually trying to lure him into a trap. They were fake. Have you ever dealt with a fake? You ever dealt with people in your family, friends, whatever, they're fake? Listen, as long as they can get something out of you, they're nice to you, and then when they're done with you, you're cast out like an old newspaper. Well, that's exactly what he was dealing with. Pharisees are synonymous with hypocrisy, right? When you hear the word Pharisee, what do you think? Hypocrite. And so here we see these Pharisees. Some think there were certain Pharisees that loved the Lord. Maybe there were. Others think they were just setting a trap for the Lord, whatever it is. Either way, there no doubt were fakes among the ranks, and the Lord dealt with them. I've been doing this a while, and I'm getting the place, Brother Jimmy. I can spot some when they walk in the door. Let me just tell you, that's the greatest message I've ever heard. You hadn't heard me preach one time. Greatest church I've ever been to. You've been here one time. Man, I used to do this and this and this at my old church, and I'm just looking for a place to plug in and get going. Hallelujah. Maybe you ought to just slow your jets. I can spot them. But then I have been fooled sometimes. Not you, though. You, yeah, right? See, we have to realize that the devil will put some fake people in our lives to get us off track. And sometimes, guess what? They're in church. And sometimes they're at the grocery store. And sometimes they're at work. And sometimes they're in your family. And if you're not careful, you will encounter the same as you follow Christ. People that are trying to get you off the path, and they're fake, and they'll tell you they're doing it for your best interest, and they're doing it because I love you, but what they're doing is taking you out of the will of God. If they love you, then they would want you to find the will of God. So the Lord dealt with fakes, but then he also dealt with foxes. The Bible said here, he said in them, verse 32, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Well, he was not intimidated by those people. What do you think about a fox? They're sly. They're conniving. They're always got an angle on something, right? You ever met anybody like that? Well, I have. I met some in the ministry. I met some, Brother Eddie, boy, they're nice to your face, and you know what? Then behind the closed doors, they're running you down, and they're trying to get people out of our church. And listen, now, if you came to our church, I'll tell you what I'd do for you. Man, that's sneaky, right? You've had it happen in your family. You've had it happen in your job, right? wherever it is. They're everywhere. They're in church. They're out of church. They're in the White House. They're in the poorhouse. I mean, it doesn't matter. You look and there's a fox everywhere. You better be careful and you better follow the Lord and not people. So he was not intimidated by those people that would try to intimidate him. There's folks, I mean, they're trying to always intimidate you. And here Herod, they said, listen, you know Herod's trying to kill you. Well, he knew that. He's God. He said, you go tell that fox this. See, when you talk about someone who's a fox, they're crafty and destructive. And Jesus makes it clear he is in control, not Herod. Can I say it again? He's in control. Not a man, not a government, not an individual, not a... Listen, Satan isn't winning this thing, by the way. It may look now like he's got control of it. The world, it looks like it's distracting us with everything. It seems like just about, Brother Jimmy, about the time we get a handle on something, Satan has another tool to distract us. It's interesting, isn't it? How many remember when you was a kid you had like four channels on the TV? And then they came up, cable came in. You had 14 channels. Then they had a satellite dish. You had 1,000 channels. Now you can stream anything and everything. They came up with the internet. And so that was kind of a distraction if you had the patience to wait 14 minutes for one little page to load. Then they came up with social media, MySpace. That didn't work. So they went to Facebook, and then they went to Instagram. Then they got Twitter, where you can just say whatever you want to. Then they said people got bored with that, so they came up with TikToking. Now you go on Facebook, and everybody's doing their reels. And so you'll get on there and you go down that wormhole and here's another one. Next thing you know, they're doing it to get attention. And before you know it, hours go by. Now you got YouTube videos. You've got Netflix. You've got all this stuff. I mean, you don't have to have one single moment of silence in your life. Right? Distractions. What are you saying, preacher? You're trying to say all that's bad? I'm saying the devil is sly. And there's things, Brother Junior, that are not necessarily bad. But you know what it does? It robs you. The Bible says this, that we're to cast aside, throw away the sin and the weight. There's some things that may not be sin, but there's still weights in your life. They're distractions, right? And so we have to deal with the devil and these sly ways of distracting us from God's will. Now, I want to ask you this, and don't raise your hand, but I want you to think about this. How much time have you spent watching stuff compared to how much time you spent reading your Bible? Right? Nothing wrong with watching. I mean, if you want to watch some lady cleaning her house, or if you want to see some guy fix his car, whatever it is, okay. But have you spent more time watching that than you have reading your Bible? Now, watching this is not necessarily bad, but it has distracted me from this. How many times? Listen, we talk about video games. Oh, they're wicked. Well, they're not any more wicked than watching a football game. Because there'll be some people who don't go to church tonight because the football game's on. There'll be some kids that didn't go to church this morning because they stayed up late playing a video game last night. They're distractions, right? You could stay up and read a book till 1 o'clock in the morning and you didn't get up and go to church. That book was a distraction. My point being is, don't let the devil start slipping all this counterfeit stuff in on you, because that's what he's trying to do. And if you're not careful, we're consumed with all these distractions and we forget about the will of God. Listen, I'm concerned with our country. I'm concerned with the world. I'm concerned with, all the stuff going on just like you are. But if we're not careful, the devil will use all that to get us focused on this. And we'll stop doing the will of God. Right? So here, they're saying, listen now, Jesus. Now, we love you and we're concerned about you. That's what religion always does, right? And if you're not careful, Herod's going to kill you. Here's what he said. He said, listen, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. So here's what he did. He dealt with fakes. He dealt with foxes. But here's what he did. He decided to finish. You got to decide to finish. Perfected. Right? That's what he said. Verse 31. He said, in the third day I shall be perfected. What's that mean? To finish. Let me ask you this. Going into 2022. Everybody starts well. Got my list of New Year's resolutions, goals, whatever you want to call it. Everybody starts well. Few finish well. You know what? People get saved, Brother Tim. They say, man, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to love Jesus. Everybody starts out the same way when they get saved. But few finish well. So nothing would deter him from finishing God's plan. Let me ask you this. What's going to deter you? You say, oh, preacher, I don't know. I want to live for God. Here's how you do it. Ready, watch. One day at a time. One moment at a time. 1 hour at the time. Right? You make a decision today. You know what y'all do tonight? Come back to church. Well, that ain't a big deal, preacher. Sure it is. You know what y'all do tomorrow? Get up and read your Bible. Pray. Oh, but I'm talking about the whole year. It starts with one day. Right? You can get off track in one day, in one moment, in 1 second. You'll never get to the end until you take the first step. The first step is today I want to live for God. Today I want to give my life to the Lord. Today I'm not going to let Satan distract me. The divine schedule of Christ was he was going to the cross, and fakes weren't going to stop him and foxes weren't going to stop him. He was going to finish. Now let me ask you this. How committed are you to the cause of Christ? What's going to stop you? What's going to distract you? What's going to get you off the path of following the Lord? What's going to get you out of church, away from God, not reading your Bible, not praying, not living for the Lord? What's it going to take? Because it's different for all of us, right? So number one, we see in this the divine schedule of the Lord. Number two is this, the desire of God's heart. Look at verse 33 and 34. The Bible said, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Verse 34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. So here he gives us his divine schedule, but then we see the desire of God's heart. See his provision. Right? I think this year for us was one of the greatest Christmases because we wasn't worried about all the junk. We decided, Brother Dan, we wasn't going to give Christmas gifts, but everybody gave some anyway, but there wasn't that expectation. Right? It's kind of nice. Let's just get together and eat. It was nice. And so, when you don't expect and you get, it's a blessing. And so the Lord here is talking about his provision, right? He's saying here, this picture speaks of his love. It's a picture of a hen that's taking care of her chicks. Is that not what God does for you? See, the fact is, a mother hen would nourish her chicks, and God takes care of us. He provides for us every single day. Friend, you're here today because of God. You're here tomorrow because of God. If he leaves us here, the fact is, you're in church today because of God. Your health is because, everything we have is because of the Lord. So a mother hen would not only nourish her chicks, she'd die for her chicks. Jesus is showing that picture of him dying for people. Now again, if that doesn't motivate us to want to finish well, that God has provided for you and takes care of you, we see here the compassion and the divine plan for Christ to lovingly provide salvation. His mission, his path, his goal, the will of God for his life was not to set up a kingdom there and to be worshipped. It was to go to the cross of Calvary so that you and I, some 2,000 years later, can sit in a church knowing that we're going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for us 2,000 years ago. He has provided everything. He's provided salvation. He's provided sustenance. We have everything that we have because of him. And yet we still get distracted and don't follow him, correct? Not only is provision, is protection. The Bible talks, it shows that picture of her covering up her chicks. And the Bible tells us here, it protects us from all that life throws at us. Now, I just think about this, and again, not really trying to make him, trying to embarrass him, but Wednesday night, Wednesday morning, Brother Fry died. Jerry was in church. That evening, his mom fell and broke her leg. And they're planning the funeral. He's in church this morning. See, a lot of times we get to place, we have events in life that get us distracted, and we're thinking, okay, well, you know what? I can't go to church. I can't serve God because of this and this and this. And God's saying, listen, the storms are coming if you'll just get up under here. You can't make it any other way. See, you have things in your life and I have things in mine. And sometimes those tragedies are bigger in your life than they are mine. Sometimes they're bigger in my life than they are yours. And we're saying, how in the world can I get through this the same way everyone else for generation and generation had? We draw closer to God and realize that he's wanting not only to provide for us, but to protect us from all the world has. And if not, you know what happens? We start getting our eyes on the storms, don't we? We were out in South Dakota years ago. We were riding down the highway. And you could see, I don't know how many miles away, you could see a storm brewing. Man, you could see that lightning. It was so beautiful. And it was just, you'd see that lightning, right? And it just mesmerized me. I've seen lightning before, but not like this. And I was mesmerized by the storm. Now, I don't think it was a tornado coming at us, but what I'm saying is sometimes we get so distracted by the storm that we miss the destruction that can happen when we don't take safety. And the only safe place for you and me is under his wings. And a lot of times when we need to be under his wings the most is when we flee from him the most. His protection, but then notice also his persistence. The Bible said here, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He said, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee. Notice these next two words. How often? How often would I have gathered thee? He's persistently trying to get us under his wings. He's persistently providing for us, right? Even when we are distracted from the will of God, he's still providing and protecting. How many times in your life can you look back and think of the hand of God protecting you and providing for you when you didn't deserve it? Not just one time, but multiple times the Lord beckoned Israel to come unto him. Same today for us. How many times before you got saved did the Holy Spirit of God touch your heart and say you need to be saved? How many times has God chastened you, lovingly chastened you after you got saved and said, child, you need to come back, 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 right? And every step, he may go a little bit harder in his warning, in his chastening. He's persistent. But if we're not careful, those roadblocks, those distractions. We're way out in left field somewhere, and you look back, that's where you used to be, way over there. You ever done that? Then number three, the disregard for the Lord in verse 34 and 35. Look at verse 35. He said, in verse 34, he said, I've gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. Watch this. And ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time comes. Time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know what you see? As much as the Lord has tried to pull them back in, right? What'd they do? They rejected him. Even when he came to die for them, here's what they said. We'll not have this man rule over us. We don't want him. Give us Barabbas. We do the same thing today. Ye would not. Over and over the Lord calls. Over and over people say no. See, but here's what we do, Brother Tim. We say no with our mouth, but we say no with our actions. How many times you hear this? Actions speak louder than words, right? Now we say that somehow. Husband, wife, they've been arguing, fighting, and he'll say, honey, I love you. And she'll say, let me tell you something. Your actions speak louder than words. We'll use that on each other. But we don't use it when it comes to the Lord, do we? Oh, I love Jesus. I love him. Oh, how I love Jesus. We sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Yet we're easily distracted. Right? We're prone to wander. We get off the path pretty easy, don't we? All they got to do is throw a ho-ho-ho holiday, and next thing we know, well, surely, remember what I said earlier? Surely God will understand. I believe the Lord understands. Why do you believe that? You got scripture for that? I thought Hebrews, to forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. So if we are supposed to come to church, we ought to come to church. Study to show thyself proved. We ought to study the Word of God. Pray without ceasing. We ought to pray, right? If you love me, keep my what? Commandments. We're to obey the Word of God. So we can say we love God, but our actions speak. And the Lord said, listen, I'm trying to get you under my wings. I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to protect you, but you keep saying no. You keep rejecting me. Let me ask you this. Have you? Are you following the will of God for your life? I mean, I'm not talking about just showing up for church. I'm talking about, are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you 100% on the path of following Christ and finishing well? Because if we are, these other things fall into place. When I get up this morning, if I'm focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's everything to me, guess what? Now all of a sudden my steps are ordered. You know what they tell? If you study about planning, I know we don't like that word. That's a curse word. Goals. They tell you this. You start with the end in mind, right? What is your big goal, your five-year goal? Okay, I want to do this. Well, guess what you do? Now you break it down. If I'm going to do that, every year I have to do this. Well, that's still a big task. So what do I do? If I want this end of the year goal, I need to break it down into a monthly task or a quarterly task, right? Here's my goal for that. That's still big. Well, I break it down to a weekly, and all of a sudden I break it down to a daily. Then I break it down. Here's my schedule to get this done. What I'm saying is, it's a step. If you want to follow the Lord, if you want to end well, that's your final goal, right? That's the end destination. That's planning with the end in mind. I want to finish well. I want to, when they lay me to rest, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I still want to be preaching. I still want to be in church. I still want to be serving God or whatever that looks like. Well, now I have to break it down. How am I going to do that? To I get to the basic level of the tomorrow morning, when I get up, I'm going to get up out of the bed. I'm going to thank God that I got a good night's sleep. I'm going to get my Bible, and whether it's I read a page or a chapter or a book or whatever it is, I'm going to start. You got to start, folks, because I'm going to be honest with you. I'm tired of seeing Christians at the end of every year coming about with, I want to get closer to the Lord. They never do, because it's this big idea, but they never get started. You got to take a step. And the Lord, listen, he wasn't going to be deterred by distractions, and he wasn't going to be deterred by people, and he wasn't going to be sidelined by circumstance. But every day, he said, today I'm doing this, and tomorrow I'm doing this, and the third day I'm doing this. I'm going, and my steps are ordered. Why? Because he spent time finding out what God's will was. Now, you got to make a decision this morning. Are you going to say yes or no? And you do that with your actions, right? So the rejection of Christ, but then notice, here's what's so sad in verse 35. So in verse 34, you see the compassion of God over and over and over and over again, and he said you would not. But then look at verse 35, he said, now you behold, your house is left unto you desolate, empty. I tried to get you back, tried to reclaim you, right? I tried to woo you in, but you would not. And so now you see the removal of Christ's presence. Eventually, the Lord will not call. Until the Lord comes back, then every eye shall see him, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. Happens to people. I've heard people say, well, you know, you can get saved on your deathbed if you'll just cry out to the Lord. Not if the Holy Ghost of God isn't convicting you, you won't. Amen. You can say some little shallow prayer, repeat after me, but it's the condition of the heart that matters. Your little prayer, listen, your little prayer doesn't save you. You mean to tell me that for 80 years of a man's life, the Holy Spirit's been dealing with it? Now, I do believe in deathbed professions. But I don't believe in all this. Somebody's lived like the devil their whole life, doesn't want anything to do with God their whole life, and they've been in church and they've heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit's dealt with them, and they said no, 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 no for years, and all of a sudden, because they're about to meet the Lord face to face, they say, I think I'll do it now. That ain't how it happens. You got to recognize you're a sinner. Listen, you're not getting a fire escape out of hell. You are recognizing yourself as a sinner, and you need a Savior. And so, I've seen it. I've seen people, listen, said no to the Lord over and over and over again, and the Holy Spirit doesn't deal with them. You can see it in church. Man, I've seen it. Preach your guts out, and people look at you like, just hurry up, preacher. Listen, we're ready to go. Well, I'm saved on my way to heaven, preacher. You don't judge me. I'm not judging whether you're on your way to heaven or not. I'm saying if you're saved and love the Lord, then he's still dealing with your heart about stuff. You're not living for God and he's not dealing with you, there's a problem. Maybe your conscience is seared. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you've gone so far down that path that God's saying, listen, you're desolate. You're a walking shell. I believe, Brother Tim, that's why a lot of Christians don't have any joy. They've said, no, no, no. The Holy Spirit deals with them. No, no. Finally, he says, okay. That's it. You go ahead and live your life. But you have no joy and you have no peace. Right? Removal. Remember the Old Testament? Ichabod. There's a lot of churches. But here's the thing. If it had Ichabod over it, at some point in time, the presence of the Lord was there. Right? Look at those seven churches. Look at those churches in Revelation, right? The candlestick is removed. Presence of God. Now, I don't want to be a church like that. Man, I don't want to be a used to church. Man, remember back years ago when God was moving down there at Currytown Baptist Church? Oh, man, I thought God, listen, same God. It's up, it's us. How many times are you going to say no? In your life, man, Brother Johnny, I remember, listen, this person, young person on fire for God, and I've seen it, parents, tell you what happens. They'll go to a youth meeting or a camp or a retreat, and God will do something in their life, and they're on fire for God, and they come home, parents, let's see how long that lasts. Well, I'll tell you how long it's going to last if you don't fan the flames about like that. Let's just see if it's real. They get tired. They get off the path, Brother Matt, and all of a sudden, that same young person that was on fire for God is cold. And they end up getting the world. And the parents, they'll do this. They'll say, let's pray for so-and-so. Now, you know, we raised them in church. Now they're just walking away from God. Maybe we didn't help them. See. You can get to a point when you don't feel God's presence anymore. And Miss Vonnie, you know what we do? We blame it on everybody else. Well, it's the preacher. It's the choir. They don't sing those spirit-filled songs anymore. I tell you what. I can sometimes, I mean, when I'm really walking with God, Miss Susan can play an instrumental. And I mean, boy, it just gets all over me. Yeah? I don't have to have any nifty words. I don't have to have any rock and roll music. I just need something. And you know what that says? Doesn't say a thing about somebody's playing or they're singing. It says the condition of my heart. Man, when my heart's not right, you can bring the best singer and musicians in the world. Won't do a thing for me. When my heart's right with God, you can find somebody that can't carry a tune in the bucket. Loving Jesus, singing because they love Jesus. I'm talking about fire you up. Doesn't have anything to do with them. It has to do with me. What's my walk like? And I'll finish and tell you this. You can be on the right path going in the right direction. Here's a roadblock. Distraction. And all of a sudden, we walk in this path for a long time. One little thing gets us off, right? You know how many people are out of church because of fakes and foxes? I'd say this, Brother Dan, very few. Here's what I'd say. The reason they're out of church is because they got their eyes off of God. There's always been hypocrites in church. There's always been hypocrites. There's been foxes and fakes. Back in the 50s and 60s and 40s when churches were exploding and people getting saved, you don't think there were hypocrites in church then? Sure enough. It didn't bother people. Why not? Because they had their eyes on the right person. So here's what I'm saying. I'm done. How you going to handle roadblocks? You got to get closer to Him. Right? If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to get under His wings. You need to be saved. If you are saved and you're not walking with Him, get under His wings. It's the only way you're going to get through this life. You can't do it any other way. Too many distractions, too many roadblocks, too many tools the devil has to get us off unless we get under his wing. Let's stand together. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. No one's looking around. If you need to come this morning, you come. Nothing to be ashamed about if God spoke to your heart and says, hey, it's time to get close to me. If you're here today and you've never trusted Him as your Savior, let's do this. No one's looking around. Slip your hand up and say, preacher, would you pray for me this morning? Pray for me this morning. Thank you. Is there another? Nothing to be embarrassed about. Would you slip your hand up? Father, I thank you so much for that dear precious soul that raised their hand and took much courage to do that. So now this morning, give them the confidence to step out. so we can give them confidence from your word how they can know they're on the way to heaven. Lord, no doubt there may be others here this morning that do not know they're saved. There may be some, Lord, just have gotten off track, need your help. You know the need of every heart, so take the invitation, use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.